You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Speaking of beautiful records and new music, we've got a very special guest in the studio this morning. It is the legendary Diane Swan. Morena.
Morena.
Hey, how are you, Diane?
Hey, I'm pretty good. Yeah.
It's such a treat to have you in here. Many people will know you from your days in The Cat's Away and The Julie Dolphin and many other legendary projects. But we're talking about a really special release today. It's your first proper solo record. How are you feeling about that?
Really, really pleased and just happy to have it out. And it's release day and I'm here and it's great.
It is great.
Yeah.
So how long has this record been in the works? The War on Peace of Mind, we should let people know it's called. It's a great title.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, not that long. I suppose I made the decision to kind of do this in around winter 2019. Mm. And then once I'd made that decision, the songs kind of came together pretty quickly. Started recording at beginning of 2020, but then, of course, we all know
what happened. It's just like, all you need to say is 2020, everyone's like...
Yeah, then 2020 happened, but I'm pretty lucky that 2020 happened because it gave me a bit of time. Mm. I'd started tracking before lockdown, and then the idea was to send some tracks to this amazing UK producer who was going to mix them. Sent one off to him, got one back, and it was amazing. And then we sent another track off to him, and it went quiet.
Uh-huh.
And oh dear. And he was sick. He had COVID.
Oh, no.
And he was quite, you know, unwell for quite a long time. But then what happened with us is that we went into lockdown, so I couldn't do any more tracking anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was all that long period of not doing anything. But silver lining was that I got to hear it after lockdown with fresh ears and kind of maybe change things a little bit, which is great.
Totally. Having that distance sometimes between writing, recording, and then before you release it or before you even finish producing it, having that space and being able to listen back to it must be quite invaluable in some ways.
I think it's actually really good.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to take too long at it because sometimes that's a bit of a disaster because you just start second guessing too much.
Yeah,
but a little bit of a deadline's good.
Yeah.
That was that was a great way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, The War and Peace of Mind, it's quite an evocative title.
Yep.
What was going on for you when you were putting these songs together and writing particularly?
Well, I guess I took that title from, there's a song on the album called Losing the War and Peace of Mind.
Mm.
And that song started quite a long time ago. I had the melody and the chords and the first line, which is, take a look now where we have landed down at the crossroads where the melody stranded up on the ridge with all hopes abandoned. And that was about coming back from the UK where we had an incredible experience, but we had a huge disappointment. And coming back to New Zealand, thinking, you know, what's going to happen?
Mm.
And then I hadn't finished the song, but it kept circulating in my mind, you know, over the years and saying, finish me. So this winter I had a lot of time on my own and it turned into a totally different subject matter. It's kind of a little bit about love and loss and those things that work through your mind and how you can lose your peace of mind when you're with another person. And it was kind of ended up about that. But then when I went to name the album, I was going to name the album Losing the War and Peace of Mind. And my friend Frank, who lives in Boston, who's been a friend for years, went, no. I went, what? He went, the Bads released an album called Losing Heroes.
Oh, no.
Don't have another title with losing in it. It's a bit of a trend.
Yeah.
And he said, also, it's long. And also, you're giving the game away too soon.
Mm.
So he was totally right.
It's such a great thing to have friends who can help you with those little details because actually it makes a huge difference.
So does.
In the framing of the whole record as well. Yeah, yeah.
Somebody that can stand off and have a really good perspective. They've known you for a long time and they've known your work and then they can just go quite speak, you know, like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. You go, okay.
Yeah. It's nice to have those people you can just trust their, you know, opinions.
It's so important. And that actually has... This album has a lot to do with those long relationships with people.
Yeah, you've got some bandmates that you've been playing with for, you know, on and off for a long time as well. Do you find those live performance relationships really important as well?
They really are. When you've been doing this for so long, I'm so nervous about inviting somebody into a band that you don't know because it's as much about personality and relationships than anything, you know?
Yeah.
And so hard if you get somebody that doesn't fit and you have to tell them I just never want to be in that situation ever again.
Terrible. It's like having to break up with someone.
So bad.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that this has been, it sounds like it's been a really positive and quite fulfilling experience putting this record together.
So has, yeah. And even though it's a solo album, it's like, it is so much about relationships and long-standing stuff. You know?
When you have been, I guess, thinking, gearing up towards this release, what's been going through your mind? Because it has been such a weird year, you know, internationally. What have been some of the things you've been, I guess, ruminating on right before releasing?
Well, the album actually has kind of articulated a lot of those things, like there's stuff about climate change, Rare Good Feelings, a song that's about feeling, actually wanting to beam out positivity after so much negativity going on and hiding from the news, and also it was sort of kind of like, it was inspired by seeing so many people out on the streets for climate change protests, and a lot of young people just out there and being really, really like, we've got to change this. That's, you know, so there's the things that I'm thinking about as releasing it are pretty much still as I was writing it, which is cool.
Yeah, I think that has been something that probably collectively everybody's been feeling a wee bit in the last year.
Yeah.
We've seen such huge protests, particularly around the Black Lives Matter stuff.
Absolutely.
And that comes from a massive place of like long grief and long trauma. Yeah. But also there is something incredible about lots of people in a space.
I agree.
Moving with purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we've been asleep for so long, and it's almost like this has pushed so many things to the forefront, and it just seems like a real time of change. Some people think that's terrible. I think it's just really great.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. You got to sort of hit that critical point.
You do. It's almost like you have to have that disaster before things start repairing, and that's kind of, I think that's exactly what we're witnessing, which is, you know, not that common. It's a kind of once in a lifetime, I think.
Yeah. Diane, we saw you perform with Reb Fountain the other week. Yeah. That was really fun as part of her show, Celebrating the Music of Nick Cave.
Yeah, it was a great thing to do.
You were doing the Wild Roses track.
Yes, I was the only one dressed in pink.
Getting your Kylie Minogue on, it was great.
I was actually, yeah. Because it was pretty cool because Zambezi dressed everybody.
Yeah.
And all the band and the black quartet were all in black. And then Reb said, I want you to wear red or pink. I'm like, oh. Okay.
Well, it was a great dress.
Yeah, I was really lucky. I mean, it was just amazing. It actually really helped us perform the whole thing, you know, to actually do a performance, a fairly intense performance. So it was fun to be able to do that. And I love the song. It's such a great song.
It is a great song. There's so much fantastic theatricality to that music.
And
it was a really wonderful thing to experience.
Yeah,
we can experience your music live soon, though, at the Wine Cellar. Are you looking forward to playing that gig?
Really, really are. I've got a great band put together, so it's exciting, actually.
Yeah. And that gig, I believe, I'll just get the date up, I think that is on Saturday the 8th of May.
It is. And we've just put tickets up on sale today, so
awesome.
Pretty excited about that.
People can go and get themselves a ticket, get a copy of the record.
Yeah, they can.
Learn all the lyrics so that they can sing along loudly.
The lyrics are on the back of the vinyl, actually.
Easy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Local record store, that would be a good place to go and get it from.
Flying Out.
Nice.
Yep.
Excellent. Diane, it's been such a pleasure chatting to you this
morning.
Thank
you so much.
We are going to listen to Rare Good Feeling because I think, you know, I didn't necessarily know that's what this song was about, but I think it did resonate in that way listening to it. It's got awesome. That kind of collective hope thing going on, which I really like.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for speaking to us this morning. We'll see you at the gig.
Bye.
The world is spinning. cause the friction. And people have the power, so come on and sort it out.
This is a brand new track from Diane Swan. It's called Rare Good Feeling. It's the final track on her wonderful album, The War on Peace of Mind, which is out today. Hit up your local record store to get yourself a copy and get a ticket to her gig while you're at it. That is happening on the 8th of May at the Wine Cellar. It's going to be really lovely. Thank you so much to Diane for coming in and chatting to us. It was such a treat.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.